Earlier in the show, we heard about how U.S. population growth is changing cities. That growth could create new urban politics where minorities work together. But that isn't always easy, especially in Chicago, one of the nation's most segregated big cities. Chicago Public Radio's Lynette Kalsness has this report.
Eternal God, we have gathered together by your grace.
Reverend C.J. Wright stands under a huge stained glass window and raises his hands in prayer. He and 60 other ministers are about to march on City Hall with some housing demands.
Help us to be as one, that we may be strong in you, that we may do your will and do that which is right, and that affordable housing will become what is right in this city.
Among the pastors are African Americans and Latinos. These kinds of actions between the two groups are becoming more common. Powerful ministers who represent dozens of churches are working with neighborhood groups, activists, and even bankers.
We can do a lot more in coalition than we can do in competition for the crumbs at the bottom.
That's Reverend Marshall Hatch. He's a Chicago pastor and the National Director of Religious Affairs for the Rainbow Push Coalition. Hatch acknowledges there's concern among the African American community about no longer being the biggest minority group.
There's absolutely nothing to be gained on the part of the African American community long term by viewing the Hispanic community as competition. And you're just not going to throw away a relationship that has so many points of common interest. It wouldn't make political sense.
Looking at cities like Chicago, New York, and L.A., and many others, they're the new majority.
Jesus Garcia heads a Latino advocacy group and is a former state senator. He says the level of coalition building is unprecedented.
The quality of life depends on how the groups view each other, whether they see each other as adversaries or as collaborators.
So far, attempts to build so-called black-brown coalitions have largely taken place in the cities. Peter Burns teaches political science at Loyola University, New Orleans.
Racial politics comes into play in cities because of the numbers, because there are higher percentages of African Americans and Latinos in cities, and there is no majority in the city in terms of a race, so you have to have bi- and multiracial coalitions in order to elect.
In Los Angeles, African Americans helped put a Latino mayor in office, and a multiracial coalition elected the first black mayor of Houston. But in Chicago, you have to look back to the 1980s for the most recent example. That's when Latinos, African Americans, and whites elected Harold Washington, the city's first black mayor. But that movement splintered when he died.
In Chicago, it's really divided. It really is.
Aidita Perez heads Westtown Leadership United, a Latino advocacy group.
I've seen it in the past, you know, where it's, oh, it only happens to us because we're Latinos, or it's, you know, and it's so funny because then the African Americans say the same thing.
Perez says both groups have problems getting a quality education and health care, and they struggle with families being separated, schools closing, and low-paying jobs.
I think that there's a lot of people who want to believe, I mean myself included, that there should be some natural basis for coalitions between blacks and Latinos.
But Professor Kim Williams, who studies racial politics and social movements at Harvard University, says that doesn't always happen. She says coalitions are more likely where there's a history of working together and there's a racial mix, not in places where the races are polarized. Peter Burns says African Americans and Latinos can form coalitions based on their shared exclusion from society.
Now, it may be enough to come together to elect, but then when we start talking about governance, we tend to have conflict. Conflict over which issues are we going to take care of? Who is going to get which positions?
An example of that post-election conflict may be playing out now in Los Angeles. Last week, the school board appointed an African American as the school's new chief. The Los Angeles mayor is saying he's disappointed with the selection process, which excluded him. But he can't complain too much, at least according to the LA Times. The paper is reporting that there could be backlash from African Americans who supported his election bid last year if they think he's unfairly criticizing the new superintendent. Burns agrees getting someone elected isn't enough to guarantee change. He studied several northeastern cities, and he found that community coalitions can hold together if they find common issues. But Harvard's Kim Williams says the issue of illegal immigration is a potential obstacle to coalition building. Latinos generally support immigration reform, but for some African Americans, immigration is a difficult issue.
Some blacks feel, well, how can this be the next phase of the civil rights movement? Because what about that last phase? We're not quite done with that. And so I think the worry here is that the unfinished agenda of the black struggle is being pushed to the back burner.
On the other hand, Williams says she does not expect African Americans to tolerate anyone being treated like, quote, second-class citizens, unquote. Reverend Hatch of Rainbow Push agrees. He says African Americans have a moral imperative to support immigration rights.
I don't think it benefits the African American community to be on the wrong side morally and on the wrong side in terms of the course of history.
To build solidarity, Hatch and several other ministers are turning to their congregations and to the small screen. They raised money for a Latino family that lost several children in a fire, and they prayed with Elvira Arellano, an illegal immigrant who's taken sanctuary in a church. Hatch says the ministers wanted to offer sympathy, but they also calculated that those images of solidarity would reach millions on Spanish-language TV. For NPR News, I'm Lynette Kalsnes in Chicago.